We want to talk this morning on this title, Sinner, Don't Let This Harvest Pass and Die and Lose Your Soul at Last. It's an old spiritual. Sinner, don't let this harvest pass and die and lose your soul at last. You know, the Lord tells us some pretty hard things in the gospel today, and you know, I have preached to you a great deal over the years that I've been with you on the reality of hell. A lot of Catholics tell me that their priest never mentions hell anymore. It's just never part of the discussion. But the Lord mentioned it a lot, and I try to follow his example, and he did. And so I have certainly taught you at some length, and I don't want to dwell too much on this first part of the homily, but you know, there's some pretty vivid images, aren't there? The Lord is asked a question, and he's told, or he's asked, are they who are to be saved many or few? And the Lord, in effect, says few. He says, you know, many will try to enter, but will not be strong enough. He says in Matthew's gospel, he sort of puts it a little differently. He says, the road that leads to damnation is wide, and many follow it. How narrow the road to salvation, and how few there are who find it. He also used this image today of there comes a time when the door, the owner, if you will, gets up and closes the door. And those outside will say, wait a minute, let me in. And he'll say, too bad, it's too late. You know, I had this experience at the Atlanta Hartsfield Airport. Anyone ever had to go through that airport? They land you on one time zone, and you got across. And well, anyway, just to put it this way, that myself and Mr. Lewis and a few of us were out doing a music ministry workshop, and we landed at Hartsfield to get on the connecting flight. Well, things ran a little late. We got all the way across the airport because our flight landed late. Too bad, the door had been closed. Well, I said, well, open it. They said, once the door is closed, federal aviation regulations, it cannot be reopened. That's what they said. I know what really happened. They gave away our seats. That's what happened, see. The door was closed, and it could not be reopened. And the Lord tells a similar story today. There comes a time when your decision and my decision for or against the kingdom is final. We cannot and will not change our mind at that point. So the Lord gives us some vivid images, and he says, listen, I want to save all of you, but I want you to know you've got these hearts that are hard and very obtuse. You need to understand that many are on the wrong path and do not really want the kingdom that I am offering. And the Lord tells us this not to scare us, but he does tell us to sober us and to give us a kind of urgency to, first of all, get our own heart right, and then secondly, help others to find their way to the Lord and get their heart right. You say, but Father, everybody wants to go to heaven. Yes, everybody wants the streets with gold and the mansion. But that is not the full extent of the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is the fullness of the kingdom of God. And therefore, with the gold mansion or the gold streets and the nice mansion comes a commitment to chastity, comes a commitment to purity, comes a commitment to love of the poor, comes a commitment to forgiving one's enemies, loving one's enemies. Hello. See, a lot of folks say, I'm not into that kind of stuff. And so you see, their heart begins to go wrong. And in a way, the Lord is saying today, I tell you, some will not be strong enough. In other words, their faith commitment is not strong enough to endure unto the gates of heaven. They fall away because they don't want to live chastely, or they don't want to forgive, or they don't want to love the poor, or, you know, over and over again, the Lord warns us. He said, if you don't give food and to the thirsty and bread to the hungry, you'll be not among the sheep, but among the goats, who will be consigned to flames of woe. Likewise, if you won't live chastely or you won't forgive, and on the Lord warns and he warns and he warns. He said, you've got to come to me. Let me work with your heart. But the great sadness in the Lord's heart is that many, many are not on a path that leads to heaven. And he asked us to be sober about that, but also urgent. And one of the great tragedies of our modern age is a kind of a modern heresy that basically says, no, everybody's going to heaven, almost everybody, maybe Hitler or a few other people, but basically everybody's going to heaven. Church, I beg you, don't buy into that. It is an error. It is not what the Bible teaches. Now, I promise you I won't read them all, but I put in my notes that you can get online in the full notes of this homily, 17 different quotes where the Lord warns about judgment, and he warns about hell. And I just ended at 17 because I got tired, because there's more I could have come up. But nobody loves you more than Jesus. And yet nobody mentioned and spoke and taught and warned about judgment and hell more than Jesus. You see, church, he's serious with us about this. He's saying, would you please keep guard on your heart? Because it tends to go astray. And keep watch over people you love. Don't give up on them. Keep preaching. Be urgent about them, because many, I tell you, many are going astray and they do not want what I am offering. And there will come a day when the door must be closed, and they'll either be on the inside or the outside. And that's what the Lord is teaching today. He's giving us, if you will, a kind of warning, a kind of a danger that is described, that our hearts tend to go astray. Now, the next thing, though, I want you to notice is in these readings today, though, the Lord who warns us about these dangers also reminds us not only the danger that's described, but he also teaches us of the divine desire. And what is his desire? His desire is he wants to save us. He wants to save us. But church, listen. God did not make you and me to be slaves who have no choice in this matter. He made us free because he wants sons and daughters who love him. That's our dignity, that we are free to choose for his kingdom or against. That's our dignity, but it's also our responsibility. But the Lord says, I want to save everyone. I want to, but I do respect the freedom I gave you. But let me give you a couple quotes. First of all, we heard in the first reading today from Isaiah. And what did the Lord say? He said, listen, he says, not only do I want to save the Jewish people, but I also want now my word to go everywhere in the world. And so he says here, I have now come to gather all the nations of every language so that they can come and see my glory. I want to proclaim my name to those who have never heard of my name or my glory, says the Lord. And so they, namely my people, shall proclaim my glory among the nations. Oh, the Lord is saying, call everybody. Call everybody. I want to save everybody. Likewise, the Lord says at another point in the chapter in Ezekiel, he says this, as surely as I live, says the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather I want them to turn from their evil ways back to me so that they can live. So, Israel, turn from your evil ways. Why should you die, O house of Israel? See, I love you. I want to save you, but I've made you free, and you have choices to make. And those choices will either bring you life or they'll bring you death. And those choices begin to accumulate in our life. So the Lord is warning. And likewise, he wrote in, the Lord gave this to Paul to write to Timothy in the first letter. God, our Savior, wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then Paul, remembering our freedom and the urgency of the task, says, therefore, since God wants to save all, therefore, I was appointed unto this purpose, and I was made a herald and an apostle. What's a herald in the Greek? It's a town crier standing in the t- town crying out, come to the Lord, come to the Lord. I was made a herald and an apostle of the gospel. Oh, you see, the Lord wants to save, and he raises up men and women to proclaim his name all throughout the world. Parents and godparents and priests and religious, so many standing in the corners crying out, come to the Lord, come to the Lord. He loves you. He wants to save you, but you must guard your heart, which is wayward and tends to stray and doesn't always want what God is offering. Come to the Lord while it's too late. Oh, sinner, don't let this harvest pass and die and lose your soul at last. So we see the first two truths. The first one is, again, the danger that's described of judgment in hell because of our wayward hearts, but also the divine desire that God urgently is working and desires everyone to be saved, and he will do whatever it takes to pull it off. And he's saying now, will you take my hand? And so we see the divine desire, God's desire. But remember, we are not slaves. We are not slaves. We are free sons and daughters. Someone said, how could there be a hell if God is love? Because of his respect for your capacity and my capacity to choose and therefore be in that relationship of love, not of servitude or slavery. It is because God is love that there is a hell, because you and I can't love if we are not free. Being made free, that's our dignity, but it's also our responsibility. And then that leads me to the third part of the homily today, which is, if there is this great danger that we must be urgent about, and if there is this desire to save us, then where do they meet? And I would suggest to you they met in the second reading today from the letter to the Hebrews, where the Lord gives us a discipline that delivers. Having described the danger, having talked about divine desire, now the Lord gives us a discipline that will deliver us from our wayward heart and put us more firmly and securely in his kingdom. And if you would follow with me this, this discipline that was spoken about in the letter to the Hebrews, I would suggest to you that the letter to the Hebrews gives us a kind of 5-point plan that describes how we can allow and open the door to God so that he can go to work in our life and draw us unto salvation, lest we wander and stray. Now, the 5-point plan begins simply with this. The first thing is that we ought to respect God's regimen. We ought to respect the regimen that God gives us. The text says, my son, my daughter, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord. In other words, respect the regimen that God gives us. Now, let's talk about this word disdain, and let's look at the word discipline for a moment. First of all, disdain, the Greek word here really means to treat something lightly, as if it were of no account, to be dismissive of it. Well, that's an interesting little thought for the day, but I'm on to more important things now. So the first thing that we are told is, look, God has a plan for you. Now, do not treat it as some light little thing that you can just glance at occasionally. It is that lamp shining in the darkness. It is the most significant and important thing in your life. Do not make light of the plan that God offers. And then he says, don't disdain the discipline of the Lord. Now, here, most of us in English, when we hear the word discipline, we think first of punishment. But this, the Greek word here is very clear, and it means, the Greek word is paideos, which means it is the schooling or the training that is proper to a child in order to draw them to maturity and freedom. Now, you see, in other words, it's not, you know, getting hit all the time. It's being taught. You see the idea? It's that teaching that is meant to bring us out of childhood into the maturity of Jesus Christ. Now, St. Paul writes elsewhere, and he says, You are no longer to be children tossed about on the winds of every trickery and false teaching that comes along, every fad and fashion, like children running after them. No, no, not for you. You are to come to the fullness of the maturity in Christ Jesus. And that's what's being talked about here as well. That is to say that we are not to treat lightly or make of no account the training of the Lord that is meant to draw us to maturity. So the first step in this five-point plan then is simply this. If you will, respect God's regimen. Now the second point is that we ought to reconsider when we have been reproved. Now here again, the Greek word, which is translated here, it says, let me just read the text. It says, do not lose heart when reproved by God. Now to be reproved means to be corrected, but not just by being yelled at and told you're wrong, but by this Greek word talks about a directed learning, so that having been presented with evidence and with a weight or a body of wisdom and evidence, we come to be convicted that what I was thinking is wrong and I need to think differently. And that is really, at the end of the day, the purpose of catechesis. It is the purpose of preaching, so that you and I, on account of God's word, who presents to us evidence and wisdom, that we come to begin to see that some of my thinking and some of my opinions and attitudes are wrong, they are not rooted in God's word, and I need now to reconsider the way that I've been thinking. And that's why, again, the first step is respect God's regimen. In other words, let him teach you and regard this teaching with seriousness. And then, when you find that some of the things you've been thinking are wrong, change the way you think. Reconsider when you've been reproved. So again, one of the things that we need to be careful about is not to bristle. Well, I don't like that teaching. That sort of sounds old-fashioned, and it's from a different time. But it's the word of God. And we, when we hear it, and we hear it presented well, and the evidence is given to us that this is a consistent teaching of God, then we need to reconsider the way we've been thinking. There's an old saying that says, do not believe everything you think. Well, because I think it must be so. Let God be able to challenge some of the thinking that you and I have. You see, a lot of times we think, just because I think it, it's so. Tain't necessarily so. And therefore, you see the first two steps. First of all, again, respect God's regimen. God has a plan to teach us and to bring us to maturity by teaching in his word and teaching in the experience of the church. So respect that regimen. Reconsider when you've been reproved, that is to say, when you've been corrected. Reconsider how you've been thinking. Now the third thing is, remember his regard for you. Listen to what the text says. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. That's that word again. He teaches. Whom the Lord loves, he teaches. And then it says, he also punishes every son whom he acknowledges. But God treats you as sons, as daughters. For what son or daughter whose father loves him is not corrected by him? And so you see, you're not being taught by some despot who just wants you to think the way he thinks. You're being taught, and I'm being taught, by a father who loves us and wants only what's best for us. And so we are in the presence of a father who loves us, of a son who has suffered and died for us, and of a spirit who is God's wisdom and love. And it's this is who teaches us, a God who loves us, a father who sees us as his sons and daughters. He's not just trying to beat us up and win an argument. He loves us and wants to save us. So, again, the three steps of the five we've gone through now, which are, again, respect God's regimen. Let him teach you, and let that teaching carry real weight in your life. You know, some people put more weight on pop culture than they do on God's word. See, the Lord is saying, let me teach you and give weight to what I teach you. So respect his regimen. reconsider when you've been reproved or corrected. Remember, or remember his regard for you. He doesn't do this to embarrass you, make you feel small, but rather because he loves you as a father. And the fourth thing, remain resolved. The text says, endure your trials as a kind of teaching. Because God doesn't just teach us out of a book, but he teaches us out of experience, through trials and tests. There's a test in every testimony. Amen? And I have learned so much, not just from God's word, but also from living this life that he's given me, applying his word, and beginning to experience that in the laboratory of my own life, that what God teaches is true and good. I'm a witness, church. Is there any other witness in here? And so the Lord says, endure your trials as a kind of discipline. And your life is like a laboratory. And in your life, as you journey with God and you apply his teachings, you come to see that they are true. And so this text says again, endure your trials. So again, I'm putting it in the R's. You know my love of alliteration, so we're staying with the R's, but remain resolved. There will be in life some challenges. There will be some setbacks, some humiliations. There will be times when we struggle to understand. But the Lord just says, keep walking with me. Stay in the conversation. Journey with me. If you fall, just make sure you fall on Jesus and get back up and keep walking with him. So remain resolved. So we're coming up on the last one now. Just again to keep reviewing though. The first thing again is to respect God's regimen. Give weight to God's teaching. Reconsider when you've been reproved. Remember his regard for you. Remain resolved. And finally, reap your reward. Reap your reward. The text says, at the time it is given, all teaching or discipline seems not to be a cause for joy, and punishment seems to be a cause for pain. Yet later, someone say later, later it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. Oh, hallelujah, church. I hope I'm not the only witness in here. I want to first tell you about my parents. Now, both my parents have died, and I pray gone home to the Lord. But I'm going to just tell you, I want to say publicly right now, I want to thank Charles and Nancy Pope, who raised me up and who disciplined me. They trained me, and when I got out of line, they would sometimes punish me. I want to thank them for that. I didn't like it at the time. When I was young, I thought I knew a few things. And my mother often said to me, son, you do know a very few things. And my dad said, son, I didn't say I want to discuss it. I just want you to do what you need to do. I didn't like going to school. I didn't like being told what to do. But I just want to say now, at the time it was administered, my teaching and my punishments when necessary, I didn't like it. But I want you to know now, I'm glad. I say, I'm glad that they did it. Because on account of it, I have a self-control. I know the discipline of hard work. I'm able to do it. I developed good habits. I learned to read and read well, and I learned to write, and I learned all kinds of things because my parents said, sit down, son, until you learn it, until you've mastered it. Praise the Lord. And I also now want to thank God, my Father, because he also has brought me a mighty long way. He's taught me through you, he's taught me through his word, he's taught me through good holy men and women that I've met, he's taught me, and at the time, it wasn't always easy. I spent 5 years in seminary, but I'm just talking about the daily learning and getting up every day just like you do and learning from God, studying his word, applying myself, making my holy hour every day, studying his word, preaching his word, learning his word. I've even picked up Greek now. I love Greek. It's a wonderful language. Church, I just want you to know such rewards. Because God's word is not just informative, it is transformative and it is performative. And what God has promised me, he is delivering. In the laboratory of my life, I am discovering how true God's word is. Now, then, just a quick review and I'm done. The Lord talked to us today about a danger. He said there is a day of judgment coming. And you've got to be ready. You've got to be sober about this. The Lord says you've got to keep watch over your heart. Your heart tends to be wayward. Your heart tends to stray. There are too many people today who are not serious about what I offer. They are not praying. They are not coming to church. They are not receiving sacraments. They are not repenting of serious sin. And I'm asking you, says the Lord, if that's you, first of all, be serious and guard your own heart. But he's also saying to us, we all know at least 50 people in the condition I just described. And the Lord said, don't just think everybody's walking into heaven. That is not the way it works. Because your heart has to be ready for heaven. You need to want heaven. I won't force it on you. Be urgent about it, says the Lord. Evangelize, teach, stay in the conversation with people, walk with them. But keep calling. And so the danger was described. We were reassured of God's desire to save us. And that if we will but turn to him, he will work with us. And so then he gave us, if you will, the design or the plan by which he can do that. And we talked about the five steps. You say, preacher, I can't remember those five steps. It's online. It's all written out online. Just go to the website, say Holy Comfort of St. Cyprian Church, and click on the homilies tab, and it's the top one on the list right there. But I just say to you, please, I beg you, be serious about it now. There's a grief in the Lord's heart today. A grief. Because many, he doesn't give percentages, but many doesn't mean few, church. Many means many. Many are on the way to perdition. Many are on the way to being lost. The Lord is serious about it, and it breaks his heart, and he needs a voice. He needs your voice. He needs my voice to cry out with love, but with clarity, sinner, don't let this harvest pass and die and lose your soul at last. Be assured that God loves you. Lord, I've sinned, but you're still calling my name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, but church, the cry has to go out. Do not fall into the sin of presumption. The Lord speaks a hard truth today, but he speaks it in love. We need to take it to our own heart, but we also need to take it to the hearts of some who ought to be here this morning. And the fact that they're not is a sign of real danger. It's not just, oh, well, it's just one little thing. It's serious, and we need to take it seriously, and we need to just rejoice in the call that God is giving us and ask him to help us to become more effective in drawing people we love and he loves right to heaven with us. Sinner, don't let this harvest pass and die and lose your soul at last. Help us, Jesus. Amen.